Hey everybody, I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about revitalizing your prayer life by breaking through religious mindsets. And I want to begin by sharing a story just to illustrate my point. So this past week, my oldest son, Josh, who is 18, getting ready to graduate from high school, was looking for something that he lost. And it wasn't a big important thing, but it was enough to where he got a little worried when he couldn't find it. So he started frantically searching around for it. And when he couldn't find it, he came and he found me and said, "Mom, have you seen my card that I'm looking for?" And I said, "No, I haven't seen it." So he started frantically looking again. And he remarked, he said, "You know, I just feel like I can't study until I find this, card." It was a graduation card that his uncle gave to him that had money in it. So I came up to him and I said, "Josh, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God to show you where this is?" And he kind of looked at me, well, like I was crazy a little bit. And he said, "No." And then he just continued to, you know, just look through things and just try to find it on his own. So I said to him, "Well, let me pray for you." So I prayed and I asked God that he would help us to find that card. And guess what? 5 minutes later, Josh found the card that he was looking for. And it really got me thinking about the scripture that we're going to talk about this week, and even about my own prayer life. Sometimes we don't pray about things because we think, well, that's such a little detail. God doesn't really care about that. Or, you know, this is an insignificant prayer request. Or we may even pray big, bold prayers for other people. But when it comes to praying for ourselves, well, sometimes we pull back and we're timid. And the truth is that the God that we serve is a loving, generous Father. And he longs to hear us call him Father and find that he is generous and good and that God cares deeply about our needs. But oftentimes, this religious mindset buries or belittles our prayer life by telling us things like, "That's a selfish prayer," or "You're bothering God with that little thing." And I want you to think about your own prayer life, and I want you to think about how you pray for others. And I want to ask you a question. Is what does your prayer life, the prayers you pray for yourself, what is that a reflection of? And are you praying big, bold prayers for other people, yet when it comes to you, those religious mindsets that say, "That's a selfish prayer, you shouldn't pray that, God doesn't really care about that," and so instead of bringing your needs to God, you pull back and you're timid instead of going before the throne of grace to get what you need? Well, we are going to dive into that topic today because our personal prayers, prayer for ourselves, is a pathway of trust that we travel to experience God's love and power. And not only that, not only does it create this pathway, building this intimate relationship between God and ourselves, but it also paves the way for others to travel to Jesus as they see God's glory in his answer to your prayer. Now, the first thing that I want to tackle, and for my base scriptures today, we're going to be talking about two different passages in the Gospels where there were two different women that found themselves on the outside but pressed through to pursue Jesus to get their needs met. One woman, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 24 and through 34, had been bleeding for 12 years. And because she was bleeding, the old covenant told her that she was unclean, that she had to stay outside of the camp. And so can you imagine struggling with an illness for 12 years, being isolated? And the Bible also tells us in this passage that she had spent everything that she had, that she had suffered a great deal, and that she had spent everything on all of these doctors trying to get well, but to no avail. But then it says she heard about Jesus. And when she heard about him, she made a decision to act on what she heard about him, and she pressed through the crowds, touched Jesus, and she was healed. Another woman is a Gentile woman, and she came to Jesus pleading because her daughter was possessed by a demon that was tormenting her. And at first, Jesus does not reply to her. The disciples actually say, she's just bothering, tell her to go away. And then Jesus actually says no to her, questions her, but then it says that she persisted in her prayer. She came and she worshiped and she pleaded, Lord, help me. And then Jesus ends up healing her. And not only is she healed, her daughter healed, but because of this act of her persistent prayer, and because of the woman that pressed through the crowds, other people saw these miracles happening, and it showcased something of great eternal value that I don't think either of those women understood, but Jesus was painting that picture that the old covenant was no more. And it's all because these women, in desperate circumstances, persisted in prayer. Now, a old covenant mindset would have said, you're a Gentile, you can't get to Jesus. An old covenant mindset would have also told the woman that was bleeding, you're bleeding, you are not allowed to touch any people. The culture of that day dictated that women stay distant from men. Women did not approach men in that day. So that could have been a barrier that would have kept them from Jesus. And that woman that was bleeding and the other Gentile woman who had the daughter that was possessed by a demon, well, these were conditions out of their control. That could have kept them from Jesus. And then how about the comment from the disciples? The comment that said, hey, Jesus, her prayers are like bothering everybody. Send her away. And Jesus did not send her away, right? They said, tell her to go away. She is bothering us with all of her begging. And so there were lots what people were saying, what the old covenant dictated about them, what culture dictated that they should have a distance, their condition. There were all of these things that could have been barriers to these women if they relied on that old covenant mindset, but instead they pursued Jesus at all cost. They passionately pursued Jesus. The woman in the crowd pressed through that crowd to find Jesus. The woman that persisted in asking Jesus, the Gentile woman, wouldn't accept no for an answer, went over and over and over again to Jesus. And the Bible says in Mark 5, verse 27, it said that the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years had heard about Jesus. And when we hear about the power of God and the goodness of God and the love of God, That's what will inspire us to pursue Him in prayer. You see, God is a good and generous Father that cares about our needs. In fact, I'm reading in the book of Jeremiah right now, and in chapter 32, God is talking to the Jewish people, and He's telling them that, you know, they are in captivity with Babylon, but then He talks about their restoration that He is going to bring to them. He's going to bring them back to this land. And not only that, but when He brings them back, He's going to abundantly supply for them. But then even in the glory and the awesomeness of God's redemption, inside of that chapter 32, He prophesies about the new covenant. In other words, the Bible is saying, you know what, the redemption is great, but God has something even greater, and it's that new covenant. And listen to what the book of Jeremiah says about the new covenant. It says in 32 verses 40 and 41, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me. I will find joy doing good for them, and will faithfully and wholeheartedly replant them in this land." Did you hear that? It says, "I will never stop doing good for them." And then it goes on to say, "I will find joy doing good for them." Do you believe with everything in you, even when God is not answering a prayer in the way that you want answered, do you understand and do you know and have you heard that God not only desires to do good for you, it brings Him joy. God is a good and generous Father that cares about your needs. And not only that, but God created you to find the joy that comes from an intimate relationship with Him. And this is one of the reasons why prayer is so important. I mean, what's so awesome about pressing through into the presence of God is that we begin to see things like perfect circumstances. It's not like the ultimate be-all and end-all. It's that being inside of His presence. And you see, when we have a need and we express that need is met, it builds intimacy and it builds joy. And that is the type of relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. And it's why one of the biggest reasons why God calls us to pray. Prayer is an act of faith, and faith will always have an action with it. And if we don't believe that God wants to do good for us, if we think that we're bothering Him or we're not good enough to pray, or we should keep our distance, or it's a selfish prayer, whatever it is, then we won't see Him as that loving Father that wants to do good, and we will not go boldly before the throne. What have you heard about Jesus? And which words are you paying attention to? Is it religious teaching, or is it what you see in God's Word? Well, let's read what God's Word says. In Matthew chapter 7, it says this in verse 8, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they give you a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" God is a good Father. Now, sometimes if you and I experienced from either our father or our mother or somebody else that was in that caretaking role over our life, if we expressed needs and needs weren't met, well, then the opposite happens to us. There's distrust, there's isolation, and a lack of intimacy. And sometimes we can bring those mindsets into our relationship with God. And we feel guilty or bad about boldly going before the throne and asking Him. You know, inside of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, God says, "I longed to hear you call me Father." And it really got me thinking, because the Israelites were in all kinds of trouble because they were relying on their own strength, or they were looking for the Assyrians for strength, or the Egyptians, or they were creating idols. In other words, they were taking their needs to a different source. And see, that's where we get in trouble. And that's why we must embrace the truth that God is a good and generous Father. Now, religion will tell you all sorts of reasons why your prayers are selfish, or you shouldn't bring them before the throne. And I think that it's important to remember that God is God. In other words, just because we pray something doesn't mean it's supposed to happen. We pray, and then we let go of our expectations and leave them at the foot of the cross. But we come to God boldly and pray. And it's important, too, to trust God's answer and to have reverence with that. So I'm not talking about, you know, not having reverence with God, but I am talking about honoring Him by boldly asking for things that you need, and then letting go of the way that He answers by trusting that His answers are always good. Now, sometimes I've prayed for a stone before, right? I've asked God for a stone. In other words, here's an example of that. I wanted so much at one point in my life to be accepted by this group of people, and I did not receive that acceptance. But you know what? God didn't want me to have it because He wanted me to find my acceptance in Him. 5 years ago, I walked through the most traumatic season of my life, and it caused my prayer life to shrink back a little bit because I felt like God just wasn't listening to me, right? But the truth about it is that I was praying, and I wanted to be answered a certain way, and God didn't answer that prayer. And today, now that I can look back and see, I say, thank goodness, because you knew what was good for me. And these women, the Gentile woman, the woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, they can inspire us because they didn't let what other people said, what their condition was, what the culture told them, any of that to belittle or bury their prayer life. They just decided to pursue Jesus. They forgot about everything else that would have kept them away from Jesus, and they just pursued Him instead. And not only that, but they had to be persistent. I mean, that woman that was pressing through the crowds, she had to be persistent. And we see inside of that passage in Matthew that at first she asked Jesus. The Gentile woman asks Jesus for to heal her daughter, and Jesus responds by being silent. He doesn't answer her, and then he says to her, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But then it says that she came to Him again. She worshipped and she pleaded again, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus responds again, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." And then it says, she replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table." Verse 28, "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. You see, persistent prayer carves a pathway to press through religious mindsets into the presence of Jesus, to experience the fullness of God's amazing love and power. Now, how do we do that? Well, the first thing is we need to believe God. The greatest lie that we believe is that God doesn't love us and he doesn't care about our needs. I love, love, love what it says in the Gospel of Mark. It says in Mark 5:27, she had heard about Jesus. And I want to ask you, what have you heard about Jesus? Because what we hear about Jesus, and faith comes through hearing the Word. And so as we spend time in the Word, not from what other people are telling us who Jesus is, but from what God's Word says that that she is, it says she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. In other words, what she heard about him, what she believed about him, resulted in that act of faith that persisted in pushing through to the presence of Jesus. Believe God. Number two, believe that you are worthy to ask God for bold prayers. Don't you love how the disciples were like, she's bothering us, blah, blah, blah. But at the very end, in verse 28 in Matthew 15, Jesus says to her, "Dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. In other words, Jesus responded to her in love and in tenderness. And with the woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, Jesus said, "Who touched my robe? Look at this crowd around you. How can you?" And the disciples said, "Look at this crowd around you. How can you ask who touched me?" Right? And the reason why Jesus did this is because he wanted to call attention to the healing. So then he looks around, and then the woman realizes that she's been noticed. And it says that she fell to her knees. And I'm sure there was a part of her that was afraid because she was breaking all kinds of cultural glass ceilings, old covenant ceilings. But then Jesus responds to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Daughter, you are a daughter of the Most High God. God longs to hear you call him Father. And so take advantage of that privilege and ask God for what you need." You see, that need will still be there. And if we don't go to God and ask him for it, our flesh will start to want to find a way to get that need met a different way. And that's when we can sometimes enter into the danger zone, right? Versus the divine zone. But if we don't believe that God is our good Father and that we are worthy to pray and to ask God for what we need, our prayer life and our faith will become small. The third thing is this. Don't let the silence make you settle for a small prayer life. Now, when the Gentile woman, first asked Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus didn't even respond to her. And then he didn't tell her yes right away after she persisted. It took some time. And I want to ask you, what prayer request have you brought before the Lord? And he hasn't said poo turkey. And it's making your faith question. Whatever you do, don't see the silence as, you know, now I'm just going to settle in my prayer life. Let that silence from Jesus allow your faith to spring forward and to press into Jesus with everything that you've got. You know, the woman, when Jesus told her no, she didn't see it as a way to, you know, to go away. Or when Jesus was silent with her, she saw it as an opportunity to press forward into Jesus. Now, when there is a delay in our life, if we're praying for it, we need to consider it a divine delay. I cannot tell you how thankful I am that in that traumatic season that there are some prayers that God has answered, but they were 6 years later. And I say, thank you, Lord, for that, because there was a divine purpose. The next thing is this. When you have a problem, like the woman who was out of money, she had been bleeding for 12 years. The Gentile woman who had a daughter who was being tormented by the enemy. See, problems are, they're like a catalyst, right? That push us to pursue the presence of Jesus. And anytime we have a problem, we can get excited because Jesus has an answer for us. And it's an invitation for us to pursue Him and to see Him come in our life in a mighty way. See your problem as the very catalyst that brings you into a deeper relationship with Jesus as you pray. All right, I got to pause here and apologize for my dogs barking. Normally, they're not here on my podcast day when I'm recording, but one of my dogs has an injury, so I apologize for that. And the old one that's yapping a lot, talk about persistence. She just, anytime she sees somebody passing by, she just barks and barks and barks. Okay, back to the podcast. Now, here's the really cool part. You know, prayer not only provides a pathway for us to experience God's love and power, right? The woman was healed. The Gentile woman's daughter was healed. It also paves the way for others to travel to Jesus. You see, the answer to our prayer is always, always for a purpose and an audience beyond ourselves, as it provides a platform to reveal God's glory. Now, in this passage in Mark with a woman bleeding, it says that Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And God is sovereign. Of course, He knew who touched Him, but He stopped in the middle of this mass of crowd to draw attention to this healing because there was even a greater purpose than the woman being healed. I believe that Jesus was using this to showcase that the new covenant was here, that no longer was this woman unclean, that He was making her clean, and He was ushering in a new covenant that would not be based off of our behavior or what we do, but based off of Jesus Christ. And then with the Gentile woman, you know, Jesus was silent at first, and the silence actually stopped the disciples, but it made the woman more persistent. And it made the woman more persistent, and the disciples said, "She is bothering us." But when Jesus responded and healed her daughter, and not only that, this was a Gentile woman, right? Jesus was announcing that His ministry would not just be for Jewish people, but for Gentiles as well. You see, the answer to our prayer is always for a purpose and an audience beyond ourselves, as it provides a platform to reveal God's glory. Think about my first story that I mentioned to you about my son, Josh. And think about the fact that I talked about he was looking for this card, and then we prayed for it, and then he found it. Do you think that the big blessing of that was that we found the card? No. The big blessing was that Josh was able to see the result of prayer and powerful prayer. I'll give you another story. One of my very dear friends is a nurse practitioner, and she recently went to China. And while she was inside of China on a trip, she reached out to a hospital there. And she said, "You know, I'm just curious. I would love to come by and get a tour of your hospital and to see what a hospital in China is like." And so they responded to her and they said, "We would love to have you come." And then they said, "Oh, and by the way, can you give us a talk?" And she was like, okay, that was more than I bargained for. But she ended up doing it. She gave a talk. And after her talk, she was taking Q&A, and there were many doctors there, probably 500 doctors and nurses there. And one of the doctors raised his hand and asked her about how she handles the fear of, you know, making a mistake or a malpractice suit. Or things of that nature, because apparently in China, because of their laws on children, you know, families aren't big. There's not a lot of children. So every child is very precious. And so they, so bringing this child to have care, you know, if something goes wrong, it's huge. Not that it's not huge there, but there's a lot of pressure. And so my friend Susie responded. She said, you know, I'm very thankful. I've never had a malpractice suit. I have not had anything to go wrong. And she said, and the reason why I believe is because every morning I get up and I pray and I ask God to give me wisdom. And I asked God to heal through me, and she just went on and on about how she prayed, and she shared that story. Now, can you imagine the glory that God was given? And I wonder if there was just one doctor in that group that said, maybe I need to check out this Jesus person. I know someone that's a Christian. Maybe I need to check out this Jesus person, right? And what's beyond that is the prayers that my friend Susie prayed. They were for herself. Lord, you know, give me wisdom. Give me for her medical practice. But God knew before the beginning of time that He was going to use those answers to prayer to give a platform for His glory. As Susie spoke to those doctors and shared her answer to prayer. So, how do we get beyond this religious mindset? How do we do that? Well, I want to give you three practical ways that you can begin to press through. The first one is when you pray, always begin with worship. Always begin with worship. It's said in our passage in Matthew that that after the silence, when the woman came back, that it says that she worshiped him and then she pleaded. And what worship does, because when we worship, we're worshiping God for who He is. And worship reminds you of who you're praying to and the might and the power and the awe and the love and the ability that you're asking for, right? Or that you're, the request that you're giving, the person that you're giving your request to is God Almighty. And so worship takes your eyes off of your ability and puts them onto God's ability. It takes your eyes off of your problems and puts them on God, and all of a sudden our problems become smaller and our God becomes bigger. And when we begin with worship, our prayers will naturally be bolder, because just like the woman who had heard about Jesus, when we begin by worshiping, we're renewing our mind about who God is so that we can pray with the same bold persistence that pressed through the crowd on that day. That's number one. Number two, I want to invite you to download our prayer power sheets. Now, you can find the link for this right under the description for this podcast. And these prayer sheets, these are sheets that I use in my own prayer life. And the reason that I love them is I have space each day where, like, if I have something going on, I can pray for that. But then I also have three circles on my prayer sheets. And those three circles are inspired by Mark Batterson's book called The Circle Maker, which, by the way, is another great way to revitalize your prayer life, is reading that book. But what I do is every week I put three bold prayer requests inside of those circles and then circle them in prayer. And see, sometimes I think that what can sabotage our prayer life is that we make it complicated. And so by just putting in those three bold prayer requests, and it doesn't mean I can't pray for other things, of course I do, but by keeping it simple and bold, there's something about that that allows me to be very authentic in my prayer life instead of just reading over a list. And by challenging myself to circle not just any prayer, but three big, bold prayer requests, well, that just invites me to be bold. And can I tell you that as I have started doing this, I have seen God answer those big, bold prayer requests. And as He's answered those big, bold prayer requests, well, it inspires me to pray bolder and bolder. I think a big key is to keep our prayer life simple and bold rather than conservative and complicated. Now, complicated, you know, all these prayer hoops that people tell us on how to pray, I think people mean well, but I think sometimes it can just make prayer complicated, right? And then the conservative end of praying, that's like being timid with your prayers. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, that's a selfish prayer. You really need to watch your motive. And certainly in James chapter 4, it tells us that we didn't receive when we asked because we asked with the wrong motives, okay? However, what I think that God loves more is when we pray big and bold. And don't worry necessarily about your motives. Let Him sort all those out for you. See, here's the thing. I believe, and this is just my opinion, I believe that selfish prayer, like praying big and bold, even for yourself, is much better than a timid, safe prayer. I believe that God is honored by our big, bold prayer requests, and I don't have to worry if I'm praying something and it's not with the right motive, or I don't necessarily know that that answer would be good for me, right? Because God won't answer that prayer. And so get rid of all the limitations when you write out your prayer requests and just leave them at the foot of the cross. And then let go of your expectations, but make your prayers bold and simple rather than complicated and conservative. And like I said, the link for the prayer sheets is inside the podcast description, so you can click on that and download. All right, the third idea is my mason jar idea. Now I know what you're thinking. What are you talking about? Well, I want to go back to Jeremiah 32 and remember how I told you that God has deported all the Israelites to Judea, or the Israelites in Judah to Babylon. And they're going to be there for 70 years, and then He's going to bring them back. And so inside of Jeremiah 32, He is prophesying about how He is going to restore them and to bring them back. And then He tells Jeremiah, I want you to buy a piece of land in the promised land. Now, why is that significant? Because if it would take faith to buy that land, right? Because if Jeremiah thought, well, you know, we're not going to return back here, then he wouldn't need to buy the land, right? And so it took faith for Jeremiah to buy that land. And so he signs a deed to buy that land. And then listen to what God says in Jeremiah 32, 13 through 15. This is what the Lord of the heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take both this sealed deed and the unsealed copy and put them into a pottery jar to preserve them for a long time. For this is what the Lord of the heavens armies, the God of Israel, says. Someday people will again own property here in this land and will buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields. So it says, take this sealed and unsealed deed. In other words, it's like take your real estate contract, right? And put it in this jar. And put it before the people, right? Because the jar will be out there, and then you tell them, someday people will again own property here in this land. And so I want you to get a mason jar. And I want you to think about that prayer request that has yet to be answered. You know, the Gentile woman, while she was at first met with silence, it was pretty quick when Jesus answered her prayer. But sometimes, when God fulfills a promise, we can have to wait. It might be a long time. And we can know, well, we can trust God's goodness in that delay. We can know that it's a divine delay because He is for us. And so in that divine delay, so that you can remain confident with hope and not let the fact that you're not seeing your answer to prayer yet. You know, I remember when I was going through my traumatic season, feeling like everybody else was getting their prayers answered but me. Now, that wasn't true, but that's the way that it felt, right? And God was just using that season to really mold my character and to do a lot in my life, okay? But He did give me promises that I would not stay here forever. And if God has given you a promise in His Word, write it down and put it on a colorful sheet of paper or an index card or whatever it is, and then put it inside the mason jar and put that mason jar somewhere where you can see it and even where other people can see it, so that when they ask you, what's in that mason jar, you can tell them, I haven't seen God answer this prayer yet, but I'm believing that He is going to, and then whatever God has promised you. I haven't seen my son come back to the faith yet, but I am believing and trusting God that because I trained him up, that he will go in the way that he needs to go. And so by having that mason jar, it not only gives a visual reminder to others, but it does to yourself too. And any time the devil will come with doubt, where he'll say, gosh, you know, God didn't answer that prayer, and God seems to be silent in your life, you can silence him by looking over at that mason jar and saying, I know God is good, and I'm trusting for his perfect timing, and I'm going to stay in faith and in confident hope. All right, so those are my three tips for you to put that into your life. And if you are looking for those power prayer sheets, if you'd like to see those, remember the download is in the podcast description. Also, I want to invite you to check out the Nourish Bible Study Method. One of the things that we do is every week we ask you to identify an attribute of God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit as you're studying the Bible. And it's great to highlight those so that you can use them inside of your worship time. And it won't be attributes of God that somebody else has told you. It will be the ones that the Lord reveals to you as you're in spending time in His Word. And you can continue to study on with us every week by signing up for the weekly Word to get that Nourish Scripture, and then using the Nourish Notes pages to study God's Word. So I'm going to leave that link to the Power Prayer Sheets, and I'm also going to leave a link to the Nourish Bible Study Method page. And I want to invite you to join into the 21-Day Challenge. And we actually have an entire lesson on the attributes of God and how to find those and why that's important. But most of all, may you just be like those women and press through the religious mindset to revitalize your prayer life, because prayer is a pathway of trust that we travel to experience God's love and power, and also to pave the way for others to find Jesus as our answer to prayer provides a platform to reveal God's glory. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.